Brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by First Baptist Church.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And joining us this morning by way of telephone, Walt Brinker. And Walt is, among other things, retired military, but he's also an author and just all around, I'm going to say, a good Samaritan who's out on the roads helping people. And first of all, good morning, Walt. How was your Christmas?
Good morning, Charlie. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining my telephone this morning. You and I have spoken several times. You are an author on the subject of roadside survival. And, I mean, I don't think any driver that's been on the road for any length of time at all hasn't had some kind of a vehicle breakdown, a flat tire, engine overheats, that noise, that squeak, that bump, that something or other that says, you know, my car's just not right. And you're there out there. You told me before we went on the air just over the weekend, you stopped and helped, I think you said, three people.
Actually, from the 21st of December through yesterday, I had five.
Five, excuse me.
It was two for tires, one overheating, one out of gas, and one guy just needed some tools to fix his alternator. Wow. Or his distributor.
Yeah, and that's something that I think a lot of us don't do as much as maybe, I'll say, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We don't carry a lot of tools in the car.
That's right. Most folks carry no tools in the car. And as I think I've told you before, but I think I need to summarize it again here. 75% of people I encounter out there are broken down have got a tire issue, 75%. And the other 25% is a mix of running out of gas, overheating. The engine just cuts off and will not restart, or they're locked out of their car. But by far the most likely way to break down is with tires. So I mean, it's really important to focus on keeping good tires on your car. And 80% of the time, there's a flat tire. The spare tire is empty or is flat or has to work.
Well, and I think in some vehicles, non-existent. I was just talking to one of the guys at the station this morning that he had a relative that the car, when they bought it, didn't even come with the little balloon thing.
You know, I had one of those. I told you I had five assists in the last 3 days. One of them was for a 2013 Buick Regal GS, a nice car, but it had no spare tire.
Wow.
And it had no tools. And so the person called AAA. AAA wasn't going to come for a long time, and so I offered to take the wheel off the car and take it to her with the tire to the only store in town that was open at that time of day. You get the tire, put a new tire on the same rim, which we did. We got there, and the rim, she had hit something in the highway, which had destroyed her tire, mm-hmm. a big piece of debris or something. And that also put a big dent in her aluminum rim, which meant that the rim would not hold air, which meant that they couldn't do it. So we ended up having to go back out and have the car towed to a Buick dealer to get a new rim.
Wow. That gets expensive real quick.
$1,000, she told me it cost.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think it's
important. Yeah. All because she had no spare tire.
Yeah, because she had no spare tire. And, in some cases, no means to fix it, even if he had a spare tire. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, you're out there. I mean, I say this with a smile on my face because I know you're not out there trolling for people to help, but you run into people all the time. I mean, we all do, but most of us drive on by.
Well, I've kind of become conditioned to it now. When I drive, unless I've got to be someplace on time or have my family in the car with me, my agenda is actually trying to find people in trouble and get over for them, and that's my first reflex. If there's something, sometimes I'll be my sixth sense will say, "Don't do it because it's too dangerous for me," so I won't do it. either mostly based on the conditions of the road or traffic or no place to pull over to do it safely. Yeah, but normally I'd do it, and I've never felt threatened. I've never felt in danger by it, so I just keep on doing it. But I've got a good eye for it, and I'm well prepared.
Well, I know that I have a copy of your book, and you've got all kinds of tips in there. If people are looking for an extra add-on or maybe something to do with their Christmas money, I would recommend getting a copy of your book. I got some great stuff. But I'm sure some listener out there is saying, "Well, Charlie, what are you talking about this guy for? I can just call AAA," and they do a great job.
AAA does a good job. I mean, I have no bones with AAA. But they're not always timely getting there. And also, the problem with AAA and all the other ones also is they're good when they are responding to people who have broken down within the normal radius of service that they provide by the home office. The problem occurs in the hinterlands between the cities out on the highways when they'll subcontract the work out to people I call third stringers, and those guys don't always have their act together, and that's a big problem.
Well, and if you break down on the road, and like you said, in the hinterland, and you're trying to figure out where in the world you are, and all you can give them is the intersection of two county roads, and you're not even sure what this county road is called because roads in some counties have got three different common names, and nobody uses the official name of it.
That's right. I could tell you 100 stories about that. And some folks say, well, I'll just get... By the way, the book's name is Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns. And it's available, along with a bunch of other good stuff, at my website called roadsidesurvival.com. A lot of folks say, I'll just get the book and stick it in my glove compartment. Wait till I break down, then I'll whip it out and save myself. That's not the right sequence.
No, because some of it requires at least, I'll say, maybe not advanced planning, but some advanced thought to make sure you have, just a few common things in the glove box or in the trunk for you.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And there's some of the stuff is so fundamental. The most fundamental thing of all is to have a tire pressure gauge and to use it. You know, if your tires in your car are properly inflated, and you can check that, by the way, by the decal on the driver's dam of the driver's door of your car. That's the cold pressure before you begin driving in the morning. If your tires are up to snuff before you begin driving in terms of pressure in the tires, and they have a good tread on them, the chances of having a breakdown are probably cut in half right there.
Yeah. And I know the newer cars have that little automatic thing that when you start the car, it checks the tire pressure, and I'm glad the engineers thought of that, but it still doesn't relieve me of the responsibility of checking things every once in a while.
Exactly. You know, I had a person about a month ago that they had a brand new, not a brand new, it was a new Lincoln town car, and they were driving up near where I was, and they had new tires on the car, and they had a right front tire blew out. It was all, by the time they stopped, it was all chewed up and totally thrashed. And I noticed a tire pressure indicator on the rim of the car, of that wheel, and I mentioned it, and he said, yeah, well, we saw the warning come on the dashboard. We figured they were new tires, so we could ignore that. And they ignored it, and they kept on driving, and sure enough, the predictable thing happened. And so you never want to ignore that warning. If it comes, or if your car will talk to you also, whether you have a warning light or not, the car will talk to you in various ways. It'll... If the steering feels sloppy or pulls to left or pulls to the right, or that those are warnings of low tire pressure, then you need to stop the car right away and see what's going on. Turns out, in their case, they sent me a nice Christmas card later on with a letter in it, and they told me what happened was the actual problem was in the rim of the wheel.
Mm.
Not the tire, but the rim, and that was where the leak was coming from. They'd had the tire checked before, and nobody could find a leak in the tires. And so they ended up going. They're going to Florida. In Florida, they noticed overnight the tire lost pressure again. So they took it to a tire dealer, and he couldn't find anything. So then he took it to a Lincoln dealer, and he found that the rim was actually cracked and it was leaking out of the rim. So they replaced the rim.
That's great that the Lincoln dealer found that one. And I will give credit to the dealerships. In many cases, they've got the experts to deal with it. But if you're not looking for the problem, you're not going to find it.
That's right. It turns out the gal said that she'd forgotten that she'd hit a curb with the wheel. That's what damaged the rim. It was not a factory defect. It was a damage that was caused by hitting a curb before that that she'd forgotten to talk about.
Well, and who hasn't hit one of those potholes that are large enough to eat a Volkswagen? I mean, they're just out there, and you hit them, and it's a bone charring bump when you hit that thing.
You know, I have fixed a couple of steel rims that way and restored the bead there, so and enabled the tire to keep its air. I did it with my steel mallet. I just whack it a few times to get it back in the place where it should be, and it fixed it. I could tell that by squirting soapy water on the place, and then there's no bubbles afterwards, and where they were before. But you can't do that with aluminum rims because they don't. The metallurgy is different and just doesn't work.
Yeah, that sure is. And you mentioned safety when you pull over to render assistance, and I want to cover a little bit of that with you when we continue in just a moment. We're talking with Walt Brinker, and we will continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Spending a little bit of time this morning on this day after Christmas with Walt Brinker, author of The Roadside Survival Guide. And Walt, I know your book is available online and also through a lot of the major booksellers across the country. Just when we pull over and choose to help somebody, you know, we're thinking about not only safety of getting the tire off, but our own personal safety as far as where we park the car and how we get out to help the other guy.
That's right. Well, my first consideration all the time is my own safety, primarily. And I advise people to, if the car does start to misbehave or act like it's going to stop running, if at all possible, get out of the drive lane, for Pete's sakes. Never stay in the drive lane unless you absolutely have to. If the engine stops on you, you have no more power, you may have no choice. But if the engine's still working and the car's still moving and the problem's a tire, you can keep on driving on a flat tire. It's not going to do the rim any good, or it's surely going to destroy the tire, but that's a lot better than getting hit yourself by staying in the drive lane. So you want to look for an exit, look for a shoulder, a driveway, anything to get out of the drive lane, and you want to try to get on an area that's as flat as possible and as firm as possible, because you can't jack the car up easily if the car's tilted to the right. The jacking has got to be vertical, and it's hard to do if the base of the jack is not horizontal.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't want to get that car up off the ground and all of a sudden have the jack come out from underneath you while you're trying to change tire operation or whatever you have got your hands or body in there trying to do.
Also, I recommend having a set of three warning triangles, reflecting triangles that go behind the car, 10 feet, 100 feet, and 200 feet. That's on a one-way road or a four-lane highway.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's traffic coming the opposite direction, if it's a two-direction highway, you want to have one of those triangles up in front of the car. And if you're on a hill or around a turn, you want to get that first triangle around the turn behind you or over the hill behind you, so the cars who are coming when they see you all of a sudden broken down.
You know, I think I remember seeing something
you
about...
I
think I remember seeing something about that in driver's ed when I took that back in the 60s, but I don't think I've had anything other than a military driver's safety course remind me of that since that time.
Also, I have a reflecting vest that I wear. When I decide I'm going to stop and I put the vest on first thing. I also have got, for nighttime stops, I've got two things called a 9-in-1 safety puck. They're a real cool device that's got a 10-year battery. It's got 9 different blinking patterns, and it's really bright. It's a bright LED flasher, that's what it is, and it's got magnets on it. It'll float. They're incredible. And so I put those on the back of the car that I'm stopping for. I always pull over in front of the car that I'm stopping for. But if you're out there by yourself, just put these on the back of your car so it's just more lights that are blinking out there besides your flashers, and you have more illumination than besides the flashers on your car and the triangles.
Yeah, if it's just our own car and it won't start or won't keep running, then you've got some tips for us on that too, right?
If it won't start, there's a good chance the most likely reason is if it stops running, the most likely thing is running out of gas, of course.
Yep.
And, you know, some folks try to get the extra mile or two out of a tank of gas, or they ignore if the fuel gauge is broken, get it fixed. You know, that's the first thing. But if it is broken until it is fixed, you can kind of keep track of how far you have left on a tank of gas by punching the triple down button each time you fill up and having a good idea what the consumption rate is and knowing when you've got to how many miles go by before you have to pull over again. But you know, for Pete's sakes, don't try and put it, and once the gauge is working, don't let it get a quarter of a tank. If you can never tell whether you're going to break down or whether you're going to get caught in a traffic jam on an interstate, and then you go nowhere and you're sitting there burning up your gas. In wintertime, when there's more of a risk of sliding off the road, I advocate keeping a half tank of gas all the time in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times when someone runs out of gas, it'll be on the level, like on an interstate, and they'll pull off on the shoulder. And the shoulders typically are tilted a little bit more to the right. There's more of a right cant to it, at least on the right side.
Help the water run off.
Say again?
It'll help the water run off the roadway.
Yeah, exactly. That's the highway construction, though, to keep the water from ponding on. And so when you pull over and your car's tilted to the right and you add a gallon of gas that someone has brought to you, or you've managed to get somehow by the empty gas tank you carried in your car, you add the gallon of gas, and what happens is that typically the gas will pond or pool in one corner of your gas tank and not reach the intake. And so you try and start the car, and it won't start. So my solution to that is, I call it rock the car.
Mm-hmm.
I open the passenger door and stand on the passenger door on the frame, and I jump up and down while the driver's cranking the engine, and it starts every time almost.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Rock the car. People think it's magic.
Well, it can be magic if it worked for you at the time when you got your trying to start your car. These tips are all in your book, right?
They're all in the book, and I revised the book in May of this year, so it's got about 15 additional pages of goodies that did not exist in the one you have.
Well, I got an outdated book, but that's okay. It's still good stuff, and
it's
worth reading, and you can sit down and pick a chapter and cruise through it in virtually nothing flat.
It's got 25 vignettes of actual assists I've made with the lessons, and I use those to introduce material or to make the point or to reinforce it. It's got about almost 60 pictures in there, so it's well illustrated. And I tried to write it so it was light reading, but yet it had a lot of good information in it.
Well, looking just at some of the things that you recommend that we consider taking with us, portable jumper cables, battery terminal brush, a set of the warning lights, you talked about that, maybe a 12-volt air compressor, but other things like an old beach towel or a thin tarp and maybe some leather gloves just to help the person that's doing the work, whether it's you or somebody that stops alongside the road to help you out.
Exactly, and that's all low-tech stuff. I mean, like the old beach towel, nobody wants to get dirty when they get on the ground. And you have, let's face it, to put a jack in position under an or under a lift point, you almost have to get down somewhat on the ground, at least your knees on the ground.
Guaranteed, and you will get dirty.
Exactly. And you spread that thing out, you don't get dirty. And I've changed tires in slush, in the muckiest slush you can imagine, but I had my thin, cheap tarp that I laid down on, and I'd stayed bone dry. And so it's, by the way, all this stuff I learned the hard way. I didn't learn it by out of a book or anywhere on the Internet. I experienced this stuff myself and realized at the time that, if I just had that tarp, or if I just had this, or if I just had that, I wouldn't have this problem. And over time, I gathered those things up, and that's all in the book.
Yeah, and it is an inexpensive book. I don't have the price in front of me. It doesn't matter as much as people pick it up and take a look at what you have. And so this is something you've learned by experience, and you're out there helping people now, both in the publication and stopping by. And things to look for, I guess, if you decide you don't want to stop and help someone, you just feel the situation is wrong. You mentioned sixth sense, but sometimes there are things you can see that just say, it's not going to be safe for me to stop because they're on too steep an incline, or I can't get the car far enough off the road, right?
That's right. Or typically, they've broken down someplace where the shoulder where they are is too narrow for me to even open my door safely,
yeah,
for example. You know, and to pull over, there's too much traffic, or it's going, the traffic's too dense going back too quickly, and this just looks like too much chaos. To me, it's a hobby, not a job, and from my hobby standpoint, so I don't need to pull over. Now, if you're a AAA, you know, if you're in the roadside survival professional business, then you need to take more chances. But you'll have more equipment also. You'll have more lights. Many times the police will stop also and tend to use their lights and their presence to help out, which has happened to me also a few times.
That's great. If the guys that are there to keep us safe on the roadway see us, if you're not out in the middle of the intersection of two county roads and they are not preparing or patrolling that area, why? Sound like a good idea that they would stop. Walt, thank you so much for your time. We'll keep this a periodic series of interviews going on because safety reminders are always a good thing.
Thanks very much, Charlie. I'm glad I could help out your people, and hopefully we empowered a few people to prevent and deal with breakdowns.
Thank you very much. Walt Brinker this morning with us on a Community Connection on AM 1400, brought to you by First Baptist Church and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.